This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you guys doing? I've actually broken down. Yes, I've broken down and the technicians are coming to fix this car. But in the meantime, I'm going to be speaking to you guys about something very important, an allegation, which is a very serious allegation, and subsequent, I don't know if it's imprisonment, I should call it, or what term I should use, of Andrew Tate, our brother, who obviously I've just done a podcast with. Now, the reason why I didn't make a video in the first instance is simply because the situation was ongoing. And sometimes when you make a public statement in the first couple of weeks even of an ongoing case, it can compound a problem. But the first thing I want to say is that it's very clear that from our perspective, not just as Muslims, but most people in the world operate with what is referred to as natural justice, that someone is innocent until proven guilty. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us a world which would be, if you don't operate on this very paradigm, which is that everyone would just claim the rights of everybody else. Somebody would claim the wealth of another, someone will claim the lives of another. He says, وَلَكِنَّ الْبَيِّنَةَ عَلَى الْمُدَّعِ, that the burden of proof is upon the one that is making the claim. So we just simply ask, if there's any situation which is being alleged, just like with every other human being on the face of the earth, we would like to see the evidence. This is something the Quran repeatedly asks, قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, that bring your evidences if you're truthful. Now, the evidences have not really been provided for such a serious and egregious crime of human trafficking. It's a very serious crime. And we stand in wholehearted opposition to such a thing. And this must be clear. Human trafficking is a modern form of slavery. In fact, there's something called the Slavery Act. There's a Slavery Act in the United Kingdom which attempts to track or to document the amount of human trafficking that's happening. And I made a video some years ago, and don't ask me why or how or when. Maybe when is fine, some years ago I just mentioned. But in Holland, in the red light district, or not inside the red light district, but it's around peripheral areas. And basically, a lot of the argument I was putting forward to people as to why this is immoral, even on the liberal paradigm, part of it was because of the abuse it facilitates for a lot of women. Human trafficking is an abusive situation, a horrible one. It's completely un-Islamic. But of course, if someone's going to be accused of something like that, my question is, please provide the evidence. Or my statement is that if there is no evidence, there is no case. Having said that, I'll be honest with you. We as Muslims, from a theological perspective, believe that if someone becomes a Muslim, that whatever they've done in the past, whether it is murder or shirk, which we believe is a higher form of moral decadence or moral aberration, is forgiven anyway. Now, I'm not saying that therefore he's absolved from anything, or therefore people or victims, potential victims or anything like that, that we're going to minimize pain of any... No, because that's another issue. In fact, Islam says, although you come into Islam, it's not a get-out-of-jail-free card from, for example, if you had taken from the rights of the creation. Now, we're not saying that he has or hasn't. The life that he was obviously living before was an un-Islamic life by his own admission. He referred to himself as an atheist in the past. We've seen this. And also the fact he said with his own words, Andrew Tate said that he was living a semi-hedonistic lifestyle. So obviously all of that stuff is un-Islamic. It's beggars belief sometimes that we have to kind of mention that. Now there are some things, words of disbelief and so on, that have come out after his conversion, after the podcast that we've done. So people think that. So I've asked him about that, and he said that those things, I've asked him personally, were recorded before and then released afterwards. Now, despite notwithstanding these points, there are some things which are still problematic, which have been coming out of his Twitter feeds and stuff like that. But there is something called al-udhr bil-jahl in Islam, which is that the excuse of ignorance. Someone has just come into Islam, you have to excuse some of their, even some words of kufr or disbelief or words of that, because they are new to, they're fresh to the religion of Islam. He is just reading he was going into the prison and he's just reading the translation of the Quran or something like that. So just give the man some time. What I would say also in addition to all of this, guys, is that, to be honest with you, yes, there are some things which in my behavior and in Andrew Tate's behavior, many other people's behavior, extroverts in general, which we can exhibit what can seemingly be seen or could be, yes, arrogance. I'm going to be very clear about that. And I don't absolve, وَلَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِ, the Quran says, you know, I don't absolve myself from this myself. And that's why I feel kind of uncomfortable making this point. Because the thing is, some will say, well, look at it, Andrew Tate. I mean, why are you, why haven't you addressed the fact that the man has got a pompous, self-aggrandizing, self-congratulating tone? The reason why I don't speak about humility to people like Andrew Tate is because I myself need lessons in it. You know, the Quran says, لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ? Why do you say that which you do not do? Okay, I can't give anybody a lesson in something I don't have, because something or someone bereft of a quality cannot give it. All I can do, or فَاقُدُ الشَّيْءِ لَا أُعْطِيهِ, the famous Arabic saying, all I can do is point people to some verses and say, listen, I'm still working on this stuff myself. Does Andrew Tate or Muhammad Hijab or other people exhibit Islamic humility? I don't think so at all. And of course, that is something for Muhammad Hijab and Andrew Tate and other exhibitionist, extroverted individuals who, if we, yani even you could say, have narcissistic traits, or, and of course, narcissism is itself is a problematic notion. I was reading a book recently, actually, called The Narcissist Test. I like the way the author describes narcissism as a sliding scale of self-importance. I think that was a good way of putting it. And certainly, and he basically makes the argument that you can't be complete. He calls the opposite of a narcissist an echoist. He said, if you're an echoist, you're going to be a self-denier. So there is a middle ground, once again, a virtue to be found between being a so-called echoist and a narcissist, a happy medium, a middle ground, a virtuous middle. And that isn't found in, let's say, Muhammad Hijab or Andrew Tate and other people. And that's not where you're meant to look for virtue anyway. You're meant to look for virtue from the prophets. We have 6,236 verses of the Quran. We have so much narrations of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The karitha, or the musibah, or the calamity that befalls the Muslim people today is that because there's a lacking of, I'll be honest with you, kind of masculine energy, if you want to put it like that, from the religious clergy who have been, you know, I don't want to use any, but who because there's no actual defense or defensive jihad or fighting or conquering or any of these things or going on, that men have reduced in their ability to exhibit certain characteristics. So someone like Andrew Tate is going to attract young men. That's why he has such a great following within Muslim men, because unfortunately the religious clergy and some, especially in the English speaking world, religious people, they don't exhibit that level of, if you want to call it that, traditional masculinity or whatever it may be. So he's appealing to them, but it doesn't mean that's a perfect model. Of course it's not. It's far from, quite frankly. And as I've said, there's many things he's said and done, videos that he has, which are un-Islamic to watch. And I'm saying this very clearly to young people, filled with promiscuity, filled with wrong notions. Like one wrong notion, I would say, and hopefully he has changed it, and if not, there's time for him to do so, is the importance Andrew Tate in the past has placed on monetary capability, or the monetary capability of a man. In my view, this is a misguided notion, because I thought this was the RAC guy. Because actually, the Quran very clearly states that the people who are raised in rank, the high value people, if you like, both men and women, and I'm not saying that to try and be woke or left wing, because I'm far from any of that stuff, but is an increase in knowledge and faith. Allah says in the Quran, يَرْفَعَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ, that Allah raises in rank amongst you those who have higher faith and higher knowledge. And obviously the most important knowledge is religious knowledge. The Prophet ﷺ said, may yurid Allahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi din, that whoever Allah wants good for, that he gives him understanding of the religion. But that doesn't just, it's not just specified to religion, because the Prophet ﷺ used to make dua every morning and evening, saying, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'an wa rizqan tayyiban wa 'amalan mutaqabbala. That, oh Allah, I seek from you a goodly provision, and Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'an, a useful knowledge. So knowledge is, and if you look in the history of the world, you'll find that the most influential people, okay, and of course influence itself is a concept which must be unpacked and spoken about, and there's different definitions and different conceptions of it, but just for the sake of simplicity and brevity, I'll say that if you look at some lists that have been, you know, put in place by some individuals like Pantheon or whatever, even though a lot of them are Eurocentric, Western-centric, some of them are not. I mean, some of these lists have the Prophet ﷺ at the top of them. You'll find that the most influential people in human history have been either thinkers or political actors. Why? Because they've had the most demographic. Changing effect on demography, on sociology, on politics, on culture. The Prophet Muhammad, what made him the most influential man in human history, with the majority of these lists being accumulated even by non-Muslims agreeing to such a thing, is that he was able to change all these different spheres of influence. The religious, the sociological, or the social, or the political, and the geopolitical, and so on and so forth. It was revolution in every sphere. Ideas have a... This is an uncontroversial statement. Ideas, what I'm about to say now, have a more lasting effect or more influential impact than money. Unless, of course, money is geared for the formulation of ideas, or the production of knowledge, or of course for military reasons. We've seen that you'd have to really compete heavily with money. The money that would be required in order to compete with the global hegemony now, which is the United States of America, for example, in military, would not be the kind of money that only one person can accumulate. So what I'm saying is that these notions need to be reevaluated. However, having said that, so there's two or three things I want to say in this video, guys. Number one, in relation to Andrew Tate and the allegations, there just simply isn't any evidence. And unfortunately, people are jumping on the bandwagon, and they're saying things that is just pushing the Islamic boundaries, especially from our communities. You cannot celebrate the imprisonment of a brother, a Muslim brother, who you're meant to love, who in Islam, Allah and the Prophet ﷺ advise us or command us even to love, follow brothers. And there's a camaraderie, there is a brotherhood, there is a family. This is all a family, Islamic family, the Ummah. Seeing another person being punished, to go and put in prison, this says something about one's own faith. How can you like that kind of thing as a Muslim? How can you want that kind of thing for a newly practicing Muslim? Do you not feel sympathy, or do you not feel some level of sadness seeing the brother go into the prison with a Quran in his hand in the English language, trying his best to learn, even before he was asking some questions? And you can see his genuine, authentic. We sat with him after the podcast, and he seemed, he seemed very authentic, I have to say to you. So I am not happy with what's happened. Why? Because he's our brother, he's in our family, he's our family now. There's a degree of loyalty that I have for all the Muslim people, including but not limited to Andrew Tate. So long as you are not a munafiq and not a hypocrite and not someone who's treacherous to our community, then we have to be loyal to you. That's the first thing. The second thing is, of course, there's some things in the Andrew Tate product or brand or whatever you want to call it, which are have been historically un-Islamic and continue to be. But the man is a new Muslim. And it's always been the case in Islam where we make provision kind of for new Muslims, or we give them a chance. And the man is coming from a very strong kind of jahiliyyah. Like, he's coming from a situation where he's really had a lot of temptations in the dunya, in the world. And so you got to give him a little bit more time. So what I want to say to the people here is, I have personally been inundated with messages and videos and all kinds of things of people embracing Islam because of this guy, because he became Muslim. Islam, even people may not notice, there was a category of recipient of zakat, which is a pillar of Islam, meant for people who are sympathetic to Islam, which are called the mu'allafati qulubuhum. You see, the fact that people who are influential, and he is influential, I'm not talking about he's influential even from, I would even say, a cultural perspective, yes, from a discourse perspective. Someone like Andrew Tate, extremely influential, especially to young people, coming into the religion of Islam is something we should want to preserve. And the fact that some of us don't want to preserve that, or are angry or with him or resent him or want to see him in pain or something like that, may indicate that our allegiances are not in the right place. And someone will say, well, Muhammad, you're being very gender biased. If this was a woman, then you wouldn't have the same attitude. If this was a woman, this and that. And no, I'm not. And no, we're not. For example, Sinead O'Connor, she became a Muslim and she lived a very un-Islamic life before. And she was celebrated by the entire Muslim community. None of her previous sins. In fact, I challenge anyone to bring even forth some level of criticism of Sinead O'Connor about her previous misgivings and sins that rival that of Andrew Tate. That you won't find it at all. And in fact, I believe that there's feminist-influenced individuals who are jumping up and down because they're triggered by Andrew Tate for whatever, for reasons. Some of them are justifiable and some of them are not. You see, they would not be able to, they would be very upset, yes, at Muslim people doing the same kind of thing with someone like Sinead O'Connor, who became a Muslim and who was welcomed within the community without almost any mention of her previous sins or misgivings. So this idea of you're creating a fake gender narrative, there is recent or contemporary examples of individuals who have become Muslims, who are women, who have not received the treatment that Andrew Tate has received. And I do think that it's an intentional maligning and manipulation of the narrative, which needs to be called out. It says the true people who have been gender biased in this situation have been those who have been triggered by Andrew Tate. And we've already spoken about that. So I think that the lessons, in summary, therefore, because I've spoken for quite some time, I will say the following. Number one, in relation to the allegations, there is actually no evidence. So what am I meant to do with this? What are we meant to do? You have not provided any evidence. You've just made a claim. So what are we meant to do with that? Number one. Number two, yes, there are some things in the Andrew Tate brand which are totally incommensurate in attitude, in speech, and in vice with the Islamic narrative. Of course there is, and you'd be a fool not to know that. Of course, we're not telling you to go copy him or me or anybody else. كُلُّ إِنسَانٍ يُؤْخَذُ مِنْهُ وَيُرَدُّ عَلَيْهِ, as Malik said, إِلَّا صَاحِبْ هَذَا الْقَبْرِ, that everybody, كُلُّكُمْ رَادٌ وَمَرْدُودٌ عَلَيْهِ, you take something from them, you reject something from them, except for the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he pointed at the qabr of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. So what, or the grave of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. What I'm saying to you, therefore, is don't look at Andrew Tate as a final, finished article, a product, a role model. Of course he's not. He's a new Muslim. Give him time to acclimatize to the environment. Also, I'd add to that, those who are happy to see the man go into prison, you might have something wrong with your iman. Or there might be some trauma that you've gone through in life, to give you some, which his kind of parlance and discourse disturbs you. In which case, you need to work on yourself, a man or woman, whoever you may be, you need to work on yourself, because, you know, Sinead O'Connor or somebody else coming into Islam doesn't upset you as much. There was a model who became a Muslim, a French model recently, you know, no one's speaking badly about her, a very famous French model, she's a woman, many women, in fact, the majority of converts that come to Islam are women, they're not, treated in the way that, to be honest, this guy's treated. Some of them come from very strong jahili background. And finally, I would say, what was the final point I wanted to make? Yeah, the final point I wanted to make to you guys is, yes, just follow the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, follow Islam, because at the end of the day, a lot of the reason why we're not getting, why young people are going to someone like Andrew Tate is because there's a dearth in the masculine product, in traditional masculinity. There's a dearth in traditional masculinity. That what is required is for people not just to show humility and compassion, but also to show bravery and assertion and these kinds of things that Andrew Tate does. If Muslim men held that standard, if there was a lot of Muslim men that did that, then young Muslim men wouldn't be looking at Andrew Tate as the role model that replaces the imam or the father that he's got in the house that can't fight and can't speak, make a point properly because they haven't studied. So these are the kinds of things I would say. And hopefully, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Hopefully, he comes out of prison, inshallah. Allah gives him victory and gives the Muslims victory against these forces, which are very negative forces. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.